Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in again with me today. And if it's your first time joining us, I am so grateful to have you on board. As you can tell by the title, we will be talking about 5 ways to give your self-love a boost. When I first started this podcast, I did an episode on self-love called Loving Me for Me, Not Another Self-Care Challenge. And I'll be sure to link the episode to the show notes. And although I've already done an episode on this topic, I think it's one that we can't learn enough about and we can't hear enough about just because sometimes we need reminders and sometimes there's just some information that we need to unlearn and learn. A lot of times when I ask people about self-love, we don't always have a definition of what it is. We don't know what it's supposed to look like. And it's not uncommon because we may not have seen it modeled properly, or some of what we've been taught or have seen has been extreme, especially in the Black or Christian communities. And for many of us who share both identities, we've gotten a double dose of it. Either we have been taught or seen people be a martyr and be self-sacrificial because that's what, quote, a good Christian does. Or in the Black community, especially for women, we are taught directly or indirectly to put the needs of your family, friends, and community above that of your own. And I think we misrepresent scripture where it talks about loving your neighbor as you love yourself, because it's usually presented in a way to promote unity and to make sure that we are loving one another well. But usually the part that's skimmed over is when it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you're not sure exactly where this scripture is found, it is found in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. When we skim over the part where it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself, it's not surprising to me that people tell me that they love themselves as evidenced by all the things that they do for other people, all the ways that they sacrifice for other people. But when I ask them, how do you love yourself? What can you tell me about ways that you love yourself? Usually it's some kind of self-care activity. Now, I'm not saying that self-care, like getting your nails done and getting a haircut or getting your hair styled or getting massages and going on vacations, I'm not saying that self-care is not self-love, but I want to be clear that it is not the only form of self-love, right? Because you can go on as many vacations as you want, you can get as many massages as you want, and you can outwardly care about your appearance, but inside you can feel horrible. And so that's why I wanted to impress upon you that self-care is not the only way to love yourself well. And some people just flat out acknowledge that they don't love themselves at all or as much as they'd like to because of previous mistakes or perceived failures, and they just have no idea where to start. So in the previous episode, I talked about 5 things that self-love are not, and I talk about ways to love yourself. So again, I'll make sure to link that episode because I definitely want you to take a listen to the episode because I dropped some really, really, really good nuggets on ways to love yourself. And in this episode, I will be continuing the discussion to share 5 ways to give your self-love a boost. Let's say maybe you have a general idea of what it means to love yourself and you're looking for some other ways to fill up your love tank. And I think now is a really appropriate time because there's so much going on in the world. There's political unrest, there's cultural unrest, there's lots of health scares with this new Delta variant of COVID-19. These are all things that are going on in the world. And on a personal note, there can be situations in life that really drain your self-love. Can be breakups, financial hardships, employment or business setbacks, academic challenges, death of a person who you loved very much. These are all situations where you can start to question your self-love, especially if you believe that you have made a mistake in some way, or if you think that you're not good enough based on other people's actions or inactions. So I want to discuss a few ways to give your self-love a boost. So go ahead and grab your journal and a pen or open your notes app and a drink and we will get started. The first thing I think that we should talk about is how we define self-love. There's lots of definitions out there. If you Google self-love, you're gonna see a ton of definitions and examples of self-love. And here's my personal definition of it. Self-love is a deep appreciation and acceptance of your God-given existence, needs, desires, and purpose. I'll say that again. Self-love is a deep appreciation and acceptance of your God-given existence, needs, desires, and purpose. You can feel free, and I actually encourage you to develop your own definition of self-love. So that way, when you are making decisions, when you are faced with opportunities and obstacles, you can use this definition that you've created to help guide your path. Am I operating out of a deep appreciation and acceptance of who God made me, the way that He has formed my desires, my needs, and my purpose? So I want to challenge you at the end of this episode to sit down and craft your own definition of self-love. And let me know what you come up with. You can send me an email by going to amazingwithgrace.com and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab, or feel free to send me a DM of your definition on IG at Dr. Q Perry. Now let's get into these 5 ways to give your self-love a boost. The first two are self-respect and self-discipline. Now I know that boundaries are a hot topic these days, and for good reason. But I want us to understand just how important boundaries are and that we don't allow hearing the word boundaries and reading about and talking about it and seeing posts about it to make us content or to make us become desensitized to its value in our lives. Setting and maintaining boundaries are a huge way to fill your love tank. And notice that those two are connected because sometimes we may have a hard time either setting the boundary or maintaining the boundary. And in order for boundaries to work, we have to both set and maintain the boundaries. Now, I don't necessarily mean that you should be rigid in your boundaries because boundaries can be flexible depending on the situation. And God will give you discretion on when to be flexible in certain areas. But what I am saying is that we have to be consistent. And the discipline part comes in because what we tolerate and allow from other people demonstrates our level of self-respect. How we allow other people to treat us, how we allow people to mistreat us, how we allow people to talk to us is a sign of your level of self-respect. So I want you to be thinking about, are you in need of improvement in this area? Now, I want to add to the self-respect piece, the self-discipline, because not only should we set boundaries with other people, we have to make sure that we are setting boundaries with ourselves as well. Now, we may have a moment of frustration, sadness, helplessness, because we're human, right? The problem comes in when we allow negative self-talk to become a spirit that resides in us. If you notice that you constantly have a loop of negative self-talk, then that's an indication that this area of your love tank needs to be filled. If we look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we'll find that popular scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I really like the Amplified version because it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." I love this version because it reminds me that I need to keep myself in check as well. It does not mean that I demand perfection from myself, but it means that discipline and boundaries with myself is as important as it is with me having boundaries with other people. This means that it's normal for me to have human emotional reactions like anger, jealousy, and insecurity, for example. But evidence of self-discipline says that I immediately identify those things when they come up, I make space for it, and I address it. Discipline helps us to use this information and turn it into fuel. I use this information to help me get to the next step, to help me get to the next level. This means that I don't tolerate certain things in myself. If I notice that I've been on a pity party for a while, then I need to figure out, what do I need to do to get myself out of that? This means that if there's an area of my life where I've let myself become undisciplined, whether it's in my speech, whether it's in my exercise habits, my eating habits, my relationships, self-discipline helps me to rein myself back in. Okay. And having boundaries with yourself and others is an area that Christians sometimes struggle with, because for most of our lives, we've repeatedly heard scriptures about turning the other cheek and putting ourselves before other people. But we have to remember to interpret those scriptures correctly. So let's take Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 as an example, where it says, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves." One mistake that I've made, and I've seen so many people I've encountered make, is thinking that this means you have to be a doormat. And I absolutely do not believe that this is what God is asking us to do in this scripture. This scripture says, "Do not act out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourself." So if I am manipulating you for my personal gain, do you think that that's God's will for you to not have boundaries with me? What this verse suggests to me is that I have to examine my own heart. And if my ambitions are pure and out of humility, it is absolutely okay and even necessary to set boundaries. One way to set proper boundaries is if we start with having a healthy view of ourselves, not a prideful and worldly view, but a healthy and godly view of ourselves. And this includes self-respect. So some skills and actions that you can take to fill this part of your self-love tank is reading. And one of the most popular books is Boundaries, and I will make sure to link that in the show notes. But reading materials about self-respect and self-discipline, going to counseling, praying, taking courses and workshops, and practicing new interpersonal skills. The third and fourth way to give your self-love a boost is self-awareness and self-compassion. And what this area simply means is having insights or a willingness to gain insight about your strengths and embracing your weaknesses, or as I like to call them, your growth edges. This means you're aware of your patterns. You're aware of the things that you do well. You're aware of your gifts, your talents, your likes, your interests. But you're also very knowledgeable about your vices. Where am I weak? When do I not think as straight as I normally would? When are my boundaries most likely to be violated? What patterns do I have that can distract me? What patterns, what emotions do I struggle with that take me off course? Being self-aware helps you to know what is your bandwidth. So this helps you to set boundaries and have self-respect because you know what you do and don't have capacity to do. Having self-awareness helps you to be open to feedback from other people because you frequently check in with yourself. You sit and reflect on your thoughts, your reactions, your emotions about certain situations. And one of the reasons why we may be so easily offended is because we are not self-aware. And when we are self-aware, this helps us to sit and reflect. When somebody gives us some feedback, we're able to say, you know what? I haven't thought about that, but I probably do need to think about that. I've never heard anybody give me that type of feedback, but this is something that I'm going to seriously reflect on. And self-awareness also allows you to reject any feedback that absolutely does not fit with who you are, but you won't know if you are not self-aware. Now, if anybody is like me and you're so self-aware, I think I'm this way by nature and also by training, you have to make sure that you develop a strong sense of self-compassion. This is because when we don't have boundaries, when we don't model self-respect, we can start to resent ourselves and we can judge ourselves. I'm pretty sure if I ask you to name five things about yourself that you don't like, I'm pretty sure it would not be difficult for you to do that. That's because we are so self-critical. We know about our weaknesses, some of us, but as we become more aware of those weaknesses, we can do so judgmentally. We can do so critically. And so that's the reason why I think it's very important to add in the self-compassion piece, because the goal is for you to recognize those things and be aware of those things, but do it in a non-judgmental way. Do it with grace and do it with kindness towards yourself. And oftentimes people worry that if they practice self-compassion, then they may become complacent or they may give themselves permission to remain the same and not improve on the areas that they like to grow in. But it's not an all or nothing thing. What self-compassion does is make room for both. Yes, I accept myself as I am, flaws and all, and I am actively working to improve these growth edges. So do you see that the judgment comes in when we recognize those parts about ourselves that we don't like, And then we start telling ourselves we shouldn't feel this way, we shouldn't think this way, we shouldn't act this way. Self-compassion allows you that moment of kindness towards yourself, recognizing that your experience is not unique to humankind, and it also leaves room for you to grow. Some skills and actions that you can take to build up this part of your love tank is, again, by reading, going to counseling, and praying, spending time with God. Two of my favorite scriptures are found in the book of Psalms. And the first one is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The King James Version says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If you read on to verse 13 and 14, it says, "For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." This whole chapter of Psalm 139 is beautiful because it's a great reminder of God's intricate design and detail for our lives. It's really hard to know something about something or someone that was created without consulting the Creator. And so I think that rings true for us. If we spend time in God's presence, He can reveal things to you in His heart and in your heart that He absolutely adores about you. And it may be the very thing that you hate about yourself. And there may be some things about yourself that you love, that you're prideful about, that God wants to prune away from you. And so in order to increase our self-awareness, we have to spend time with our Creator. You can also increase your self-awareness and self-compassion through journaling, spending time in solitude, doing a social media detox, and asking for feedback from trusted family and friends. And the last way to give your self-love a boost is through self-expression. With self-expression, this means we are authentic enough to express our truth in love and wisdom. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, that is Christ." So this verse tells us about speaking the truth in love. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 echoes that sentiment by saying, "Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." That is the NASB version, but the Passion Translation says, "Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith." These two scriptures talk to us about how we should express ourselves. Now, I know a lot of us, including myself, have popped off and said things that you wish that you would have said differently. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, "I'm not sorry for what I said, but how I said it"? I think that speaks to the essence of these scriptures, that yes, maybe you were speaking the truth, but you did not do so gracefully. You did not do so in love. And so self-expression helps us to remember to speak your truth, but doing it in love and also in wisdom. When I talk about wisdom, this means that you have an understanding of when you should say certain things. I have worked really, really, really hard to learn the timing of things. And it's a process. It's still an ongoing process. But I want to encourage you to fill your love tank by developing a more gracious way of expressing yourself verbally. If you look in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, the NASB version says, "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time." This lets us know that how we are received and what we say can be completely negated if the word is not spoken at the proper time. But let's go broader. Self-expression is not just your words. It's also in how and what you write about. It's how your being is exuded in the way you dress, your home decor, your hairstyle, the way you dance, the music that you listen to, your art, your sense of humor. There's lots of ways that your self-expression manifests. And I hope that through developing self-respect and self-discipline and self-awareness and self-compassion, that all of those four things can funnel into a beautiful way that you express yourself in order to give your self-love a boost. Let us go now into our prayer time. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak on self-love. We know that your word says that you are love, and we want to make sure that we are loving ourselves well. We want to make sure that we are able to respect ourselves, that we're able to discipline our minds, discipline our actions, have self-compassion and self-awareness so that we can be the absolute best version of ourselves and the expression of your love through our lives. And it's in your son's name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. That is all that I have for you today. I sincerely hope that this quick discussion on self-love gives you some things that you can do and think about and continue to process as we get ready to prepare to take your heart and mind to the next level in self-love. If this episode has been helpful to you, I encourage you to leave us a rating and review, and also share this episode with your family and friends to continue the discussion. Until next time, take care.